Well, here's a question that colleges and universities across the nation are grappling with. How does liberal arts fit into our futures? We hear more and more talk about STEM courses in careers, science, technology, engineering, math. There's a lot of talk about the fact that the United States needs people with these degrees to compete in a global economy. So what will it take for liberal arts programs to matter to students who want to graduate with degrees that will secure a job that pays? These are some of the questions being tackled this week at a major conversation involving more than 50 deans at large research universities around the nation, gathering at the University of Michigan for an unprecedented national conversation, the focus being the liberal arts and sciences in the research university today, histories, challenges, futures. And joining me here in the studio is the Dean of the College of Literature, Science, and the Arts at the University of Michigan, Dean Terrence McDonald. Good to have you in the studio with us today.
Happy to be here.
Why was it so important to have this conversation right now?
Well, I think if you've been looking at the newspaper headlines and heard, for example, the proposals of various governors of states to charge more for degrees outside of the STEM fields, for example, you've heard a conversation about the liberal arts, which has, to a great extent, said they're really not important, not relevant for the future of the country. Now, this is ironic. So the United States invented a four-year liberal arts education. But, of course, now that's the fastest growing such educations are in Britain and China. So the Chinese are flocking to a liberal arts background at the same time as we're thinking about charging more for students who actually want to study them.
Why are they flocking? Why is that? Why is it looking good overseas?
The overseas people believe that the foundation of creativity is in intellectual choice, breadth, and perspective. And they believe that the liberal arts provide more of that, actually, than the more narrow technical fields.
So we're seeing these headlines. We're seeing these stories of STEM careers and charging more. Let's talk a little about some history. Talk to us, if you can, Dean, about the standing and the message of liberal arts and sciences courses. How has it evolved in our universities over the years?
So the education that we recognize today really began in the United States in the 1890s, approximately. So the University of Michigan, for example, had a we were one of the first – the literary college was one of the first units of the university here. That was us, medicine, and law were the first three colleges of the University of Michigan. There was a older curriculum called the classical curriculum where students basically all studied the same text. But in the 1880s, 1890s, that was broken down, and the new idea was that students would study a wide variety of disciplines with some requirements to focus in certain areas. And then after that, actually, what we come to recognize as the major was actually invented. So the liberal arts began as complete choice across the curriculum at the major universities, and then gradually there was this idea of specialization in a particular field. Since then, of course, that's pretty much been the model for the liberal arts. The key thing is 4 years of non-professional preparatory education, for example, which is untrammeled by any particular – the student gets to choose what they're going to study. And that has been seen to be the great kind of source of creativity and preparation for a very, very fast-changing life.
So as we hear political leaders or we hear pundits saying, oh, they need to be trained to meet the needs mm-hmm. of business and let's charge more because the kids are graduating and can't find work with that history degree – how do you answer that?
Well, I like to joke with people who make that comment and ask them, do you believe in market timing with your investments? This is a kind of market timing. Now, in fact, if you ask a financial advisor, what's the best way to invest your money? Go for the long haul. Don't try to time the market. Don't try to pick an investment that's going to pay off in a very short time. I would say the same thing about education. The one thing that we know is there's going to be ceaseless change going forward, and that what's really hot today may be very cold in 10 years. So the idea of timing the market with your education is a huge mistake. In reality, the future is going to be constant change. You don't know what you're going to be doing. Americans change jobs. They used to change jobs 7 times over the course of a career. It's even more now in the wake of the recession. So the fact is you can't predict the future, but one thing you can say is good communication skills, historical and geographical perspective, and some kind of focus in a particular area that's giving you intellectual discipline, these will all be crucially important skills no matter what happens in the economy.
And how do they translate into the jobs that are available today?
Well, again, I think that if you ask employers, and there recently was a survey done by the American Association of Colleges and Universities, what kind of skills are you looking for? They're looking for good communication skills, which is essentially writing and speaking. They're looking for the ability to work with teams, which is essentially the understanding of diversity that perspective brings with it. And they're looking for people who are independent thinkers. This is what the ideal employee is like today. That's exactly the kind of education that you're going to get in the liberal arts and basic sciences.
So can the leaders and faculty, you're pulling people together from all over, can they help define a new role or a new look for liberal arts?
Well, I want to say I think they're going to be reasserting the old role. In other words, that there's two ways to approach the current conversation. One is to say, yes, you're right. You know, we're irrelevant. We have to get relevant. The other is to say, we've always been relevant. And I think that there's going to be quite a bit of conversation about how do we make the case for the continuing relevance of what has been the most uniquely American form of college education in the world, which is the four-year liberal arts degree.
I know we had a young woman who had been through liberal arts. She actually graduated with a degree in the classics with a hope to go on to work in museums. She found herself unemployable, had much student debt. She was sharing the story. We were actually looking at student debt. And she was sharing the story of falling behind, ignoring the warning letters. Now she's in so much financial trouble that the idea of going on and getting that necessary doctorate to be able to work at a museum mm-hmm. is just not there. What do students and their parents need to do, Dean, as they're choosing courses? Because it struck me that of all the many offerings in liberal arts, maybe you do like the classical studies, but is that going to find you a job in 2013 in Michigan?
You have one and only one chance to do what you love during 4 years in your life, and that's when you're an undergraduate student. So my first advice to parents is, if you can afford it, the very best gift you can give your child is an untrammeled choice about what they want to study. Let them do what they love for once in their life. There's going to be 50 more years when they're not going to be able to do that. So that's one thing that's very important. Moreover, don't prejudge what your child should be studying. Too many parents are saying, oh, what about accounting? What about this? When their student really wants to study anthropology. In other words, there's a gift that can be given by parents if they can afford to do this, which is this kind of choice. Now, it is true that students have to be cautious about debt. And different institutions handle that differently. Mm-hmm. At the University of Michigan, half of our students graduate with no debt, and the average debt is around $20,000. Now, what I say to parents is, if you're going to buy your student a car, how much do you think you'd pay for that first car, which would depreciate the day that you drove it off the lot? Well, of course, you couldn't get one for less than $20,000. So a little bit what we're talking about here is the value on investment. And my argument would be that it's a tremendously valuable investment to have a four-year degree in the liberal arts and sciences, once again, because it is an unchanging world out there, not necessarily the jobs that exist today that will be your career or be your life.
But I guess I'll just ask, thinking of that kid who said, I love because I loved archaeology, so I can totally relate to a youngster that said, I want to take classical studies and I want to take anthropology. And then I look at the businesses growing in our state and across our country. Will they find a job? Will they need to buy more education to make them more employable?
Well,
they've had their good 4 years, mm-hmm. you know, following their passions. But
sure.
What about the practical payoff?
You know, if you talk to someone, if you talk to employers about the kind of person they're looking for, they will often say, "Look, we can teach them the business. What we want is a person who can experience passion." Now, that can happen in a lot of areas, but a kind of burning desire to study a field that you love is a practice for the kind of passion that people out there in the market really want to see in their employees today. In a sense, the appropriate preparation for that is this first stage of passion and engagement with ideas, with periods, with the past, with the future, whatever the case may be. And I think that's a place that happens a lot in the education and the basic liberal arts and sciences. You know, I think we also, for example, let's take the CERN, the accelerator in Europe now, that's where they're having these big discoveries about physics. I mean, there's, you know, people say, well, that's great. We discovered the Higgs boson. What's the relevance of it? Well, of course, it has no relevance. It's a confirmation of a theoretical model that physicists believe explains the whole world. But someone working at CERN isn't necessarily going to be prepared for a job at a semiconductor company.
The conversation and a convention in sense of leaders from colleges and universities across the country looking at the future of liberal arts and sciences coming together at U of M. Do you fear for the future of liberal arts if conversations like these are not held?
Yeah, I mean, I think that in the last year or two, to some extent, driven by the recession, in particular, the conversations of political leaders who have been suggesting that there should be a discount on certain fields of study and it should be more expensive, for example, to study history than to study math. This is an appropriate – this is a perhaps appropriate response to a cyclical downturn in the economy. It's a colossally mistaken way to think about education over the long run.
Well, everybody coming together, and there will be public forums, a couple of public forums available tonight and tomorrow night. And we're going to put the link up on our website at michiganradio.org, and you can go to the stateside link and get a link to take you to all the information about this big conference happening this weekend. Dean Terrence McDonald, University of Michigan College of Literature, Science, and the Arts. As a history major, I'll say I'm there. I get that. And it's a good conversation to have, and we're glad you're doing it.
Thank you.